You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Here is our ACC Big 12 Big Monday game on ESPN and on the ESPN app. You got Duke squaring off against Miami, 7 Eastern. And then we're heading to the Big 12 for the matchup of the night. Number 24, Oklahoma, taking on number 10, Texas Tech in Lubbock. Should be a good night of college basketball right here on ESPN. And with that, we welcome you to another hour of Get Up. We are live, as always, from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. As you can see, we got ourselves a blizzard going in New York City. Hope you're safe and warm wherever you are. Put your feet up. We have a terrific hour of football conversation coming your way. Let's roll it. Time to get up with the quarterback carousel. It is spinning wildly already with two huge names traded over the weekend. How did it happen? What does it mean? Shefty has all the insight right off the top. Then Deshaun and the Texans dug in on opposite sides of the biggest question in the sport. Which side will blink first and when? We're in search of that answer. Plus, 6 days to Super Sunday, and Mr. Mahomes knows exactly what is at stake for him and his team. You'll hear it from him in this hour of Get Up, which starts right now. And as I said, we are 6 days and counting to Super Sunday. But that is not the spotlight football story this morning. This is the first quarterback domino has fallen in what promises to be a wild NFL offseason, with Shefty reporting Saturday night that the Lions have traded Matthew Stafford to the Rams for Jared Goff and a whole bunch of picks. They get a third rounder this year. They get a first rounder next year. They get a first rounder in 2023. So the Rams will go 8 consecutive years without a number one pick, and they get the quarterback they want. Adam Schefter is with us here. Shefty, take us through what this means. As we sit back and analyze, you talked us through earlier this morning how the deal got done. Now let's talk about what it means as far as these teams are concerned and going forward for other potential deals.
Well, it means that the first big quarterback domino has fallen into place, Greeny. What it means is there were multiple teams talking to the Detroit Lions about Matthew Stafford. And I think that was a window into how many teams are thinking about making a quarterback move this offseason. Just think of any of the teams that had a conversation this past week with the Detroit Lions from the time that they let it be known that they were willing to trade Matthew Stafford. They spoke with the Rams, Washington, the Jets, Chicago, San Francisco. I'm forgetting people, but again, there were a number of people that weighed in, and that tells you how many teams in the league are exploring the quarterback market just to see what they should do. If you have a quarterback and you think you can upgrade with Matthew Stafford, you go do that. You could multiply that with Deshaun Watson and all the teams that'll be calling the Houston Texans to see if there's some way that the Houston Texans are willing to change their mind, which they haven't been so far. And so this is the first glimpse into everything that's going to unfold this offseason, with the number of teams that expressed interest in Matthew Stafford, with the number of teams that have a question at the quarterback position. And buckle up, because there's going to be a lot more action to come.
You said it on my radio show last week. 18 teams might change quarterbacks during this offseason. You just mentioned Rams, Washington, Jets, Bears, 49ers. And so do we expect anything else soon, though? I mean, are you sitting there monitoring for any second? This was the first one we knew was going to fall. Are we expecting others to come quickly?
It doesn't look right now like there's a rush to any of these other quarterbacks. Again, Matthew Stafford and the Lions had talked and had agreed to go their own separate ways. Deshaun Watson and the Houston Texans are still miles apart and have an entire disagreement over what should happen in the future. So that's not happening anytime soon. We're not getting a Deshaun Watson trade today unless it would be a complete roundabout by the Houston Texans and a complete change of thought. So to me, that one is the long haul. And that one also will dictate others. Now, again, do you get trades with Sam Darnold, with Carson Wentz, with Jimmy Garoppolo? There are other quarterbacks out there. But the next window really is when the new league year opens, March 17th. That doesn't mean there couldn't be a quarterback move before then, because there could be. But again, Stafford and the Lions was the obvious one. And now I think the board resets, recalibrates, and now teams begin to plot their next quarterback move.
Okay, so Shefty, there with the latest. Let me bring in my crew this morning, and let's get to the bottom of this, because this is a blockbuster deal, and we have Dan Orlovsky back. So, Dan, as we consider this, Stafford to the Rams, Goff, and a whole bunch of draft picks to the Lions, what to you was the most important and impactful thing about this deal?
That the Rams are trying to go win a Super Bowl. That the Rams are very clear that their window is right now. And they wanted to go get a player that they said, we can win a Super Bowl because of that guy. We can upgrade at the quarterback spot because he's such a remarkable talent that that's the difference maker. That that's the person that takes us from good to great. That that's the guy that in the NFC, where there are some question marks with the tops of the Green Bays and some of their players, Tampa Bay and some of their players coming back for next season, is there a guy out there that we can point to and say, in this offense, we got a chance to explode? That's the big thing, is people need to realize, okay, the Rams are under Sean McVay have this quarterback-friendly offense. Well, what does that even mean, right? Quarterback-friendly, first of all, the play-action pass. Why is that quarterback-friendly? Because defenses are constantly questioning how to play. Is it a run? Is it a pass? So we're at an advantage. Number two, you protect the offense. You protect the quarterback. This is a really good offensive line, so quarterbacks can thrive. And three, the use of motion keeps defenses confused. That's the quarterback-friendly offense. Now we're going to put a guy in there that's a top seven talent at the position. A guy in there that has never been in this environment. He's never had a top 10 defense. Or excuse me, he's had a top 10 defense once. He won an 11-5 that year. Okay? He's never had a run game. He's going to have one of the top five run games in the NFL. You're talking about taking a top seven talent at the position and putting it in one of the friendliest offenses in the NFL for a quarterback. I look at it and say, I expect an Aaron Rodgers 2020 season out of Matthew Stafford.
Ooh, that's big. Again, Rodgers this year, 48 touchdowns, four picks, and the number one seed in the NFC. I'm looking at the expression on Ryan Clark's face. Ryan, I'll give it to you on that thought. And the very simple question. They're going Super Bowl or bust for the Rams. Do you think they can do it?
I mean, they can do it because they were right there. Dan is a very good guy. Right. Like, Dan is one of those extremely loyal, great friends. Like, the things that Dan texts me, I'm like, there's no way that Dan is actually this nice. And it's also what we're seeing with him talking about Matthew Stafford right now. Now, do I think Matthew Stafford is the upgrade? Yes. Do I think he was in a bad situation in Detroit for many years? Absolutely. But, you know, Bart likes to come over here on the show and talk about a force multiplier. He really hasn't been that. You heard Mike Tannenbaum talk about elevating the people around you. He really hasn't done that in his career. And so, though I believe that they think they can get Matthew Stafford and get better at that position, I don't know if that says you just go win a championship with this dude. It's not like you taking Tom Brady, who under any circumstances, who under all circumstances, has found a way to make his team competitive. We've seen Matthew Stafford, and we watch the game, and we see a play, and we say, holy cow, that looked like Aaron Rodgers, or it looked like Patrick Mahomes, or hell, it looked just like Matthew Stafford. And then you look at the end of the year, and we're talking about the playoffs, and Matthew Stafford is at home. I get it. So was Barry Sanders. So was Calvin Johnson. But the one thing we do is attribute great quarterbacks to wins, to success. That hasn't been Matthew Stafford's life. So maybe Matthew Stafford needs the Los Angeles Rams more than the Rams needed Matthew Stafford.
What do you think about that, Dan? Real quick.
Listen, if you guys thought that I was going to come on television today and sit here for the Matthew Stafford slander, or sit here for the Matthew Stafford doesn't have enough wins, or sit here that he hasn't, like, y'all got the wrong dude on television today. Because I'm not going to sit here and be a part of that. This guy has overcome. I just told you he's averaged 89 yards rushing
overcome?
A game. I can sit here and make the claim that no quarterback in the last 10 years has been dealt a more difficult hand than Matthew Stafford. We are talking about a guy that is a top talent in the NFL. Now, I can't wait till November. I can't wait. Because everyone's going to realize how great of a player he is. And I'm just going to sit back here and be like,
hey,
told you guys so. I've been trying to tell everybody for 10 years.
Hey, Dad. Nobody ever came on the show and was like, Matthew Stafford is not talented. But all of these things we always attribute to these other quarterbacks, the wins and the losses and why their teams are successful or why they are not, those things have to apply to Matthew Stafford as well. Yeah. And you talk about the obstacles and the adversity that he's overcome. He ain't overcome none of that. The obstacles won. The adversity won.
Went to the playoffs three times in the last five to six years.
Dan, Matthew, I'm sorry. Do your job, Greeny. This is why you invested in this. Me and Dan will talk about this for years.
Look, I appreciate both sides of this.
And
I think we're going to find out. Like right now, we're going to find out. Dan may be frozen. We're going to find out. Many of us think he has a chance to be great. We're going to find out if he is great. But Mike Tannenbaum, you were making a point. There's a lot of pressure, not just on Stafford, but on the coach with the Rams. Tell us why.
Yeah, no question about it. You go back to September of 2019, they signed Jared Goff to a record deal, over $100 million in guaranteed, and now you're in a playoff game and you play John Wolford and you have to get rid of him. If I'm Leslie, the GM of the Rams, I'm making this trade very reluctantly. Sean McVay, we all know you're a great coach. Why can't you get this guy better? Why can't you fix what's wrong? A year and a half ago, you're telling us how great he is. So we're all in on Matt Stafford. I agree with RC. I see good, not great. But the other thing, even if Dan's right about this greatness, their margin for error is so small, they have no depth and no resources to improve this team. So in November, if they have a bump in the road, it's over for the Rams.
When you go as all in as they have gone, they'll go eight straight years without a first-round pick. Dan, super quick final thought. Go.
My final thought is this, Greeny. If we're going to talk about the quarterback wins, and that makes you a great quarterback, then our next segment, RC better say Jared Goff is great because he's second in the NFL over the last 4 years with wins. The last point is this. When a quarterback in the NFL has a QBR, this is Hembo's, a QBR of 70, okay? In the NFL, they win about 70% of their games. Matthew Stafford's QBR in the last years is 70. The Lions have won about 30% of those games. You're talking about a quarterback that is good enough to win a boatload of games. He will this season.
Go ahead, Dan.
But Dan is like forgetting everything that happened in Detroit. I think he is really good too. I think he is talented too. But that doesn't necessarily mean you plug him into what the Rams are or what the Rams will be in 2021 and they're a Super Bowl champion. I have to see Matthew Stafford be that guy. I know he can be the talent guy. I know he can be the number guy. But can you be a winner?
The pressure is on. We will take a short break on that thought. We have so much more of this to come. Are the Lions getting the better end of this deal in the long run? We will ask the biggest Lions fan we know, Jalen Rose. We'll weigh in on this as we go. And then we get to Deshaun. He has found yet another way to make it clear he wants out of Houston. The question is, will the deal get done sooner rather than later? The answer is next.
Delicious, meat nutritious, in the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
We're back on Get Up, and of course, with the big trade this weekend, the question remains, what does it mean as far as Deshaun Watson, who, over the weekend, removed any Texans references from his social media pages? That's his new Twitter bio. He did that one day after both the new coach and the new general manager in Houston said they have no intention of trading him at all. So, Adam Schefter, we have ourselves here a standoff, or as you've described it, a game of chicken. Where does it go from here, Schefty?
Well, it's both. It's a game of chicken. It's a Texas standoff, and we'll see how it unfolds. But again, Deshaun Watson would seem to be dug in and, again, is not taking calls from people in the Texans organization. So they can't contact him. He's taking a page from the Khalil Mack playbook, in which he didn't return John Gruden's calls before they eventually, months later, decided to trade him. Now, you heard Nick Caserio, the new general manager, on Friday say that they're not going to trade him, and David Culley, the new head coach, say part of the reason he took the job is because he knows that Deshaun Watson will be in Houston. I think at this time, Deshaun Watson would vehemently disagree with that. I think he's prepared to go the distance. The Texans are prepared to go the distance. And so who blinks first? And when do they blink? And what causes them to blink? Deshaun Watson, is he willing to forego all the fine money that would come along with sitting out of mini camps and training camp and preseason games and actual games? Is he willing to do that? We'll see. My sense is he is. Are the Texans willing to move on without him? And here's an organization that obviously has come under a lot of scrutiny, a lot of negative attention. They're going to get plenty more of that as long as this goes on with this issue hovering above the franchise on a daily basis. Can they go and move on without even getting another quarterback prepared to head into the next season without a guy in Deshaun Watson who seems determined and bound not to play for the Texans again? So, again, you've got all the ingredients to make for a storyline that will fill your show for weeks to come, Greeny. Be thankful. Mm-hmm. This is going to be mana from heaven for you for each morning.
I have no complaints. I'll tell you that right now. Mike Tannenbaum, let me come to you. So we see Matt Stafford traded over the weekend for two first-round picks and a starting quarterback, one who was in the Super Bowl 2 years ago. What, if anything, does that suggest about what the Texans could get and the market will be as far as Watson is concerned?
Greeny, to me, it's a minimum of three first-round picks and a good player. And again, if we go back to the Jets, who have four first-round picks, I'm looking at someone like Quinnen Williams to be part of that package. And Greeny, I think we're at truly a transformational moment in the NFL because we got five quarterbacks. We saw it with Stafford. It could be Carson Wentz, Dak Prescott, Deshaun Watson, maybe Aaron Rodgers, where this is really a lot more like the NBA model, where these players who are under contract or could be franchised saying, I'm not going to be here anymore. And as Adam alluded to, we saw it with Mac last year. We saw it with Jamal Adams and Jalen Ramsey. But with five big-time quarterbacks, this could truly be a transformational offseason.
Yeah, they are taking control of situations, all of them in different ways. Dan Orlovsky, what's the most important thing you're thinking as you watch this whole thing play out?
That this weekend, Matthew Stafford went for two first-round picks and another first-round pick, essentially, and a starting quarterback on a huge deal. Matthew Stafford is 7 years older than Deshaun Watson. He has 2 years left on his contract. Deshaun Watson has five left on his contract, okay? Like, the fact that no teams, or the fact that the Texans don't, one, realize that he's not going to play for you guys. And then, two, the value of what you have, you better strike now. Like, you better strike before this draft happens. You better try to get five first-round picks. That should be what you try and get because you took Deshaun Watson in hopes that he would bring you a championship. That is not going to happen. So now you need to use Deshaun Watson for picks to get other players to bring you a championship. And now's the time to go and do that. I think the reality is this, Greeny. At some point, it's going to come to this. Who's willing to make it uglier? Deshaun Watson in his camp or Houston Texans in this camp? Because the question I ask is this. What's changed in Houston to make Deshaun Watson have any thought of staying?
I don't see it.
If that's right,
I have to go to a break. Hold on, Shefty. I'm so sorry. There's nothing on earth I want to do less than cut you off. But I have to go to a break here. I will come back to it. I promise. We'll find out what it is Shefty wants to share. We have so much more on this trade. Lions fans saying goodbye to Matt Stafford. Jalen Rose weighs in next.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Back on Get Up, and how about this? Kevin Durant last night. Just take a look. In a game the Wizards would ultimately beat the Nets. Oh, but look at Kevin Durant going hard to the hole and posterizing Bertans. He had a big night, 37 points. Look at that final, 149-146. In regulation, defense, very much optional. Coming up, you know about the quarterbacks at the top of the draft. But we've got sneaky big news on one whose stock is rising in a major way. We'll give you the player to watch next.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Come on, get up.
Stafford checks his protection. He'll work out of the gun. Back, sets, looks, throws. He's got Golden Tate, and he's biking away. He's into the end zone. What a comeback by the Lions. Looking for somewhere to go. Stafford's going to tuck it and run. Stafford at the 5, 3, 2, 1.
Matthews got it. Back to pass. Looking left. Throwing. It is caught.
Inside the 5. Diving into the end zone. Touchdown, Detroit Lions.
How about that quarterback? He's something else.
The Matthew Stafford, a whole lot of memories in Detroit, but now that's all they are as he goes to the Rams over the weekend. And the first of what we expect to be many blockbuster quarterback moves, you see the haul going the other way. Jared Goff is now a Lion, and they get two first-rounders and a number three as well. Going to get the reaction of one of our favorite and biggest Lions fans in just a moment. But I'm going to go back to Adam Schefter, because one of the things we've been talking about here this morning is what, if any, impact all this has on Deshaun Watson. The Deshaun Watson trade continues to be the biggest thing hovering over the sport. Schefter, I had to cut you off earlier because I had to go to a break. I never want to do that. Pick it up from there. Where were you headed on Deshaun Watson?
Well, Greeny, we were talking about what the value for Deshaun Watson would be in light of what the Lions got back from Matthew Stafford. And what I would say on Deshaun Watson is you can let your imagination run wild, and you can come up with even more teams being interested in him than you would even imagine. And think about it this way. What team outside of Kansas City, Buffalo, Green Bay wouldn't make a run at the Houston Texans and Deshaun Watson? You could even come up with the scenario where would it be worth it for the Houston Texans to trade Deshaun Watson in the division to the Jacksonville Jaguars for the number one overall pick for Trevor Lawrence? Now, that has not happened, but that's a hypothetical, the likes of which you could begin to wonder about. Would that be worth it? Would the Jaguars be willing to do that? I would say probably. Would the Texans be willing to do that? Maybe, if they could ever come around to the idea that they might have to trade Deshaun Watson, which is a spot they're not in today. But you can go through scenarios like that and wonder that with almost any team in the league, because that's how good Deshaun Watson is.
Absolutely. And the one thing that has happened, and Mike Tannenbaum made this point earlier, though, is that with each move, that would, we assume, eliminate candidates. So the market starts to be driven down ever so slightly when the Rams make the move for Matthew Stafford, and they've got their quarterback situation set up. So let's see how quickly the Texans feel obligated to move. Meanwhile, I want to bring in everyone's favorite Detroit Lions fan. No one loves the Lions. Go ahead, Jalen. Today, let me hear the roar.
Okay. Shefty, we making moves, baby.
Oh, you are making moves, Jalen. There's no doubt about that. You're making moves.
Is it a roar of joy? How do you feel about Jared Goff, a 3 and 2 number ones for your franchise quarterback?
So I'm going to hear between now and when the NFL season starts a lot of people talking about Matthew Stafford and what they think he's going to bring to a franchise. Take it from the resident Lions fan who's currently in Detroit of what you're going to get. He's a professional. He has a strong arm. He competed for the team even when we were struggling. And Greeny, he never complained. This is like you watching Darrell Revis go to New England and get a championship ring. That's how I feel for Matthew Stafford. As much as I am a Lions fan, we're dysfunctional and we've been a terrible organization that have won one playoff game for the last 60 plus years. Matthew Stafford has Hall of Fame talent. He was never going to necessarily get into the Hall of Fame playing for the Lions because you got to win in the playoffs, Shefty, to actually be considered. So now that he's a member of the Rams, I am rooting for him. I am rooting for his family. I am wishing him well. But the one thing I will say, when he's in the pocket, Greeny, he's not extremely mobile, and he doesn't have that championship-level experience or pedigree. That's the one thing I'm watching for with the Rams. McVay's been there. Aaron Donald's been there. Of course, they added Jalen Ramsey. Let's see if Matthew Stafford is going to be able to perform at an elite level to help them play up to their potential.
So many things I agree with in that, including the fact that this the last game, what turns out to be his last game as a Lion, he had three different injuries that could have kept him out in what was a completely meaningless game for the team. I believe they were 4-11 at the time, and he went out and played. And that's the kind of guy Matt Stafford was, and that's the quarterback that he was there. But, Shefty, what was the reaction around the league to the deal itself and to what they got in it? Again, Jared Goff going to the Lions, a lot of questions. It's a guy who was the starting quarterback in a Super Bowl 2 years ago this week. What are you hearing around the league about what the Lions got back?
Well, I can tell you this. There were a lot of teams that were very disappointed that they didn't get Matthew Stafford. That I can tell you. Having spoken to a few of them already, they feel like Matthew Stafford and Sean McVay, that's going to be a lethal combination out in L.A. And the Detroit Lions did as well as they possibly could in a trade like this, getting back two ones, a three, and Jared Goff. Now, the reason they got back all that compensation in the former draft picks is because they're taking on Jared Goff's contract and all the guaranteed money in it. But here's the interesting part about Jared Goff's contract. While it's a burden now, in 2 years, the Lions can move on from Jared Goff's contract without any dead cap money at all. So if Jared Goff is, and you would think he would be, in Detroit for the next 2 years, they can get out of that contract in 2 years with no cap charge at all. So while Goff may be something of a financial burden now, he's going to be a financial luxury in a couple of years. But if he plays well and plays the way they want, that becomes a moot point anyway, because then they'll probably wind up doing a new deal.
So, yeah, so it feels like there's low risk and high ceiling. So how do you feel about it? Give me some, Mr. Rostradamus, give me some prediction here. What are the Lions going to be with Jared Goff as their quarterback for the next couple of years?
I'm a true diehard Lions fan, and I'm not going to act like adding Jared Goff is not going to get us our first Super Bowl. That ain't happening. However, there may be a chance, as you guys mentioned, getting a quarterback in his mid-20s, who also played for the GM now with the Lions while he was with the Rams, which means that he probably has a lot of confidence in Jared, who's basically been disrespected by his former team. And this is the irrational confidence that comes from a player, Greeny. Right now, Jared Goff is like, wait a minute, Sean McVay gonna try to diss me? The general manager gonna act like I'm not gonna be back? I helped take this team to the Super Bowl. So now that he's a member of the Lions, he's going to have something to prove. As you mentioned, the Lions now have flexibility. We can see what he's about. And we haven't had many great quarterbacks in the history of the franchise. As a matter of fact, Greeny and Shefty, y'all would appreciate this. Matthew Stafford is the greatest quarterback in the history of the Lions.
Yeah, I Matthew, agree with that.
He is. Bobby Lane went to his high school, and he was original. Now it's Matthew Stafford. I've seen Eric Hipple, Gary Danielson, Kramer, my brother Rodney Pete, Andre Ware, older Dante Culpepper. The list goes on and on and on. Joey Harrington. And so when he becomes the Lions quarterback, he don't have enormous shoes to fill, but he does have an opportunity to reinvent himself in Detroit. We're going to be cheering for you, Jared Goff. We're going to represent for the team. And how about the first round picks, Greedy? How about the first round picks? We get first round picks every year, and I'm looking. I'm playing double dutch. I'm like, okay, last year, let's get a quarterback. And I like Jeff Okuda, but he's not a quarterback. And so now, a year later, we're trying to do it. Hopefully, the Lions are now moving in the right direction.
And so, Shefty, just quickly, 16 months ago, the Rams made Jared Goff the richest player in NFL history. At that point, he had the biggest contract of all time. How does that happen? 16 months later, how is that player traded?
He regressed in the eyes of the Rams and did not turn into the player that he did. 16 months ago, people bought stocks that they thought would go up that didn't. Mm. And the Jared Goff stock went the other way on the Rams. They didn't see the progress that they wanted. They didn't see the motivation that they wanted. And they felt like they had to move on. Look, we saw it happen. And we saw it unfold in the playoff game when they went with John Wolford, when they could have gone with Jared Goff. And they chose Wolford at that time. That told you where this was going. And conversely, Detroit can take on Jared Goff. And they can do it also because guess what? Dan Campbell, the new head coach in Detroit, got a 6-year contract. So this is not going to be built in one offseason with one trade. But they can begin to assemble pieces and parts like Jared Goff. And that doesn't mean that they won't stop looking for a quarterback. But right now they've got a bridge, a placeholder, and they're hoping that he can be a lot more than that and prove he's worth the number one pick that he once was, which is why this is the first time in NFL history we've ever seen two number one picks ever traded for each other in one trade. Never happened in the common draft era until Saturday night.
Well, Jalen Rose will be rooting for Stafford. We will be rooting for you, and a happy belated birthday to my brother Jalen Rose. Thank you very much. I got to take a break. Much more to do as we continue here. In a moment, I will tell you why the Stafford deal puts the Rams into some rarefied air. We'll see if the crew agrees as we play Prisoner of the Moment next.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Our NBA Wednesday doubleheader on ESPN and the app will feature two of the top teams in the East squaring off first with triple-double threat. Domantas Sabonis and the Pacers in Milwaukee to take on Giannis and the Bucks at 7 Eastern. Then you got Devin Booker and Chris Paul and the Suns squaring off against Zion and the Pelicans. Good night of basketball. That's Wednesday night here on ESPN, which is where I welcome you back to our studios. Greeny with Get Up here on ESPN with you commercial-free for exactly the next 15 minutes, and that is when First Take will come your way here in the top of the hour. And First Take will answer this question: who is more valuable to his team, Patrick Mahomes or Tom Brady? Molly, Max, and Stephen A. debate that and much more when they come your way, top of the hour again. We're with you commercial free until then, and we are counting down the days to the Super Bowl and what I have called the greatest quarterback matchup in the history of this game. Tom Brady, the GOAT. Patrick Mahomes, the future GOAT. Mahomes stopped to chat with our Susie Colbert.
You're an athlete. You chase greatness. And Tom Brady is the pinnacle of that. And so for me, be able to have this chance to play against him in the Super Bowl, it's exciting. It's something you want to take advantage of. It'll be something I'll have to chase for a long, long time.
He knows, and I love that he's not shying away from that storyline. Ryan Clark, what is at stake for Patrick Mahomes on Sunday?
I mean, first of all, this is a compliment to Patrick Mahomes. The fact that people have built this game up as the GOAT and maybe a guy who possibly has an opportunity to one day surpass him in only his third year of starting, if that's Patrick Mahomes, it's a compliment to him. But it's also Patrick Mahomes telling the truth. This is like anybody who ever played basketball after the 90s who says that they enjoyed watching Michael Jordan play. They emulate what Michael Jordan was. They want to match the greatness that Michael Jordan displayed. That's who Tom Brady is to the sport of football. And so for Patrick Mahomes to get this opportunity to not only be in the same game as the greatest quarterback of all time, but have an opportunity to beat him, to put that on his resume, and already
a resume that we already filled is better than we've ever seen from a three-year starter. To have Tom Brady, to have that opposition, to have the opportunity to beat him, and if you have a ring over Tom Brady, I think he is well on his way to surpassing him if he continues on a trajectory that he's already on.
I agree with all of that. And yet, Dan Orlovsky, as you and I were talking about this morning before we came on the air, it's not Brady that Mahomes needs to worry about on Sunday. He is going to have his hands full considering his offensive line and the pass rush that Tampa Bay is going to bring.
Yeah, Green, I think, first of all, people need to understand Kansas City's offensive line is not very good. And it's not because of a talent thing. It's just they've been decimated by injuries. Their offensive line has been suspect all year. And now both tackles have big-time issues. So we're really asking Patrick Mahomes to do kind of something that we know Tom Brady didn't do. That was win the Super Bowl when you know your offensive line is going to get dominated, right? Like, that's the way that Tampa Bay's defensive line is going to look at going into this game. We're going to dominate this football game. Vita Vea and JPP and Shaq Barrett, I mean, William Golston, like, those guys are going to dominate the football game. And so, Patrick Mahomes, can you, like, to me, this has got to be his best game ever. It's going to be so hard. And Tom Brady, those Super Bowl losses that we often reference, how did Tom lose? Well, the front four got after him. The front four in Tampa Bay will get after Patrick. Will he kind of make another note in his legacy of, yeah, they did, and I still won? It gives him the chance to go chase greatness.
And that's an excellent point.
And Mike Tannenbaum, though.
Go ahead, Ryan.
No, I'm saying, like that's what's crazy. Like, when Patrick Mahomes, or if Patrick Mahomes wins this game, that's the backdrop to it. Not only was it against Tom Brady, not only was Tom Brady in his 10th Super Bowl, but you're playing against a team whose strength is now your weakness. And so if you overcome that, if you're able to win this game, it is about you. It is about your talent. It is about you and your obstacles and your adversity, overcoming those things, which Patrick Mahomes hasn't had a ton of. And so I think for him right now, this is the defining moment of Patrick Mahomes' career.
And exactly. And quickly, Mike T, I think the analogy to the 07 Patriots, the 18-0 team, which at that time was the greatest offense the NFL had ever seen, and they ran into the NASCAR package of that Giants defense, and they scored 10 points in the Super Bowl. That, I think, is the comparison to make here.
Yeah, no question about it. Again, this is an opportunity for Patrick Mahomes to show his greatness. It's also a glimpse into the future, because as his contract gets bigger and bigger over the next couple of years, they're going to be playing with lower round draft choices and free agents on that offensive line. So if they could overcome that great pass rush of Tampa Bay with five backups, that will go to his greatness. And one other thing that bears noting, Bruce Arians could beat Patrick Mahomes by how he calls plays for Tom Brady. If they could stay balanced, that will limit Patrick Mahomes' opportunities, and that should be a big factor as well in the game.
We got six more days to work towards this, Dan, I promise, and we will. Much more on this. What's at stake for Mahomes? Literally everything. Meanwhile, we are doing Super Bowl memories today, and Ryan Clark, oh, look at RC. Ryan Clark, that was 12 years ago today. Steelers, Cardinals, a legendary game, legendary for that touchdown by James Harrison on the final play of the first half, and maybe even more so, that touchdown by Santonio Holmes that winds up winning it at the very finish. Ryan Clark, 12 years later to the day, what does it make you think of?
Yeah. The relief I was feeling laying down in that confetti. I think I don't necessarily know if people understand the stress of football season, of playing 19 games, of being the team that people expected to win and almost losing it. We were up in the fourth quarter, and Larry Fitzgerald and Kurt Warner took that game over. And there's also a video of me on the sideline with my hands on my head like this, because as the Pittsburgh Steelers and as Ben Roethlisberger and Santonio Holmes are marching down the field, I'm praying, because I'm saying, save us. I'm saying that we're the number one defense in the league. We gave up 13 points a game, and we're about to be the GOATs of this game, and not the greatest of all time, but the reason that we lost. And I just remember after the game, after Lamar Woodley knocks the ball out of Kurt Warner's hand, Troy running up to me, we hug each other, and he goes, I was so scared. And we were both scared that Larry Fitzgerald was going to jump over our heads and win the game. And so I remember laying down in the confetti with relief. And the other thing I remember was, that was the year after I got sick. That was the year after we all lost Sean. And I remember playing the first game against the Houston Texans, and I can run through each game that season, and I remember how important every single play was. And so when finally winning the Super Bowl, it put into perspective that you can deal with things, you can go through different obstacles, different adversity, but if you got the right people around you, the right people taking care of you, the right people supporting you, more importantly, if you're on the field with the right people, that you can accomplish things no matter what you come up against. And that was one of the most amazing moments of my life, and obviously the best moment of my career.
That's really well said. Again, 12 years to the day, and it is one of the most memorable Super Bowl games ever played. Meanwhile, let's see what the memories are going to be out into the future. And we're going to do something here we're going to call prisoner of the moment. So it's going to pertain to this. Matthew Stafford, by now, we've talked about it all morning long. You saw it over the weekend. Shefty reporting Saturday night. The Lions trading Stafford to the Rams for Jared Goff and a whole bushel full of draft picks, a third rounder this year, a first rounder next year, a first rounder the year after that. So the Rams pushing their chips to the center of the table. And as I've said all morning long, I think we all have to first guess this. It's not fair to just say, look, we'll all see how it plays out, obviously. We will see how it plays out. There's a lot of pressure on the Rams. So I'm going to be the first one to do it. Prisoner of the moment. I am a professional overreactor. I have been for 30 years. So I will say it right now. The Los Angeles Rams, Dan Orlovsky, are going to win the NFC Championship next year. The Rams and your buddy Stafford, with that defense and the weapons and that coach who will be redeemed, are going to win the NFC. Dan Orlovsky, what do you think?
I'm so proud of you. Yeah, Greeny, I love that. And I'm right there with you. I am right there with you. I think that this move puts them here with Green Bay and Tampa Bay. Now, all three of those teams have questions of what they're going to do this offseason. I just know this. This team in LA, was four plays away from going to the NFC title game this year. If you mean to tell me, someone out there means to tell me, that Matthew Stafford isn't worth four plays in one football game as a difference, then we're going to get into a fist fight. Because I know he is. I don't think he is. I know he is. And so I agree that this puts them in the top four teams in the NFL, and it puts them right at the very top with Green Bay and Tampa Bay when it comes to the NFC. I'm right there with you.
Brian Clark, that defense, and you were just talking about playing on the number one defense in the sport and riding it all the way to a championship. I don't know that these guys are as good as your team was 12 years ago, but they're really
They
good.
Are.
And I think, okay, fair enough. I would never expect you to say otherwise. But they've got Aaron Donald, and they've got Jalen Ramsey, and they've got Leonard Floyd, and they've got a good running game, and they've got good weapons on the outside. And now they have, I believe, a top 10 quarterback in the National Football League. To me, they're the team to beat in the NFC. Agree or disagree?
I disagree. I think you got to look at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You have to see what the Green Bay Packers have done. You also have to figure out if Deshaun Watson goes to one of these NFC teams that's a quarterback away.
That's a good point.
What this comes down to is war, right? Wins above replacements, right? That's what this comes down to. You look at Matthew Stafford in Detroit. When they had Matthew Stafford, a lot of the times they stunk. When his backup played, they stunk then too, right? It wasn't necessarily that Matthew Stafford being on this team made this team a Super Bowl contender, and then when the other dude played, they were bad. Nah, they were kind of bad all the time. And so what is his win above replacement when it pertains to Jared Goff? How many points is he worth? How many games is he worth? And how many critical situational playoff moments is he worth? We don't know that yet. And so with me not knowing that, I can say, you know what? I believe they can have a great regular season. I think they can be a team that can be in the top two or three in the NFC headed into the playoffs. But if we think that we could sit here and predict that in the hugest moments and the biggest moments of football, after not being in them for over a decade, that Matthew Stafford is worth that much over Jared Goff, we can't say that. So I'm not going to be a prisoner of this moment with you and Dan.
Well, again, prisoner of the moment is the entire function of the bit. And what I will quickly say in response to the first, if Deshaun Watson winds up on San Francisco, then erase this tape. Just delete everything
Correct.
We just said. Because if Deshaun Watson winds up on San Francisco,
Correct.
Just cancel the season and send them the trophy. Tannenbaum, your thoughts. First guessing, we're putting this on the table. Stafford to the Rams equals what?
It equals a disappointment because football is not 7-on-7, because if it was 7-on-7, I have the Rams winning the Super Bowl. It's 11-on-11, and because of horrible roster construction, they are paper thin. If anything happens to guys like Donald or Ramsey, it's over. They may not be able to afford Leonard Floyd or Troy Hill or Josh Johnson. So while their chips are on the middle of the table, and I agree, Stafford is better than Goff. They have no depth, and over a 16-game season, it's going to catch up to them. I like Green Bay. I like New Orleans and even maybe Seattle. So sorry, Dan, your buddy, he's going to help. But it's an 11-on-11 game the last time I checked.
Orlovsky's face speaks for all of us. All right, Chefty, let's wrap it up here with a really important story, and that is, what does this beget? We've been talking about this quarterback carousel. You have been telling me for weeks this is going to be out of control. What does this trade, Goff-Stafford, mean as we project forward what the rest of this offseason looks like?
It means that there are teams that are now going back to the drawing board, Greeny. Carolina, Washington, Chicago, Denver, San Francisco, teams that had a conversation with the Lions about Matthew Stafford now have to go back and see, what will it take to go get Deshaun Watson? Do we want to trade for Carson Wentz? Is there another quarterback out there? There are any number of teams, like Indianapolis as well, that made calls with the Lions that now have to figure out, okay, Matthew Stafford is off the board. Jared Goff right now, off the board. Where are we going next? And that is the next step in this endless game of quarterback chess during the offseason that will keep you very busy.
That's remarkable. Okay, so we'll see. The Wentz of all of this, I think, continues to be fascinating. And again, they were 1-2, Goff and Wentz, in that same draft right there. But we will wrap it up with a little bit of fun today. Again, as we allow some of those who work on our program every single day to relive their great Super Bowl memories. Ryan Clark was just talking about playing in one Super Bowl. But I don't think that was his most memorable moment. This was the other game, right? This was when you wound up there 10 years ago against in a game that ultimately you lost to the Green Bay Packers. But this was media day. What exactly is going on here?
Well, a lot of people are saying I look like Randy Watson from Coming to America. And so I'm going to say it's sexual chocolate. You know what I mean? But hey, guys. Listen, everybody wanted to be Troy. Coach LeBeau let Troy blitz when he wanted. If it was cover three, he didn't have to cover the flat. And they were like, RC, I want you to sit in the middle and clean everything up. So if I had 10 minutes, guys, 10 minutes to live in his hair, I wanted those 10 minutes. I didn't get no commercials. I didn't get no Hall of Fame jacket. But for 10 minutes, I got to be asked questions like Troy. And I answered them in Troy's voice with Troy's hair. And that was a great moment for me for Super Bowl week. You get a podium and the hair, man, you winning.
Orlovsky, quick thoughts on the hair.
I love the hair. I think RC looks great. But now you get to, since you're not Troy, you get to come on Get Up and argue with me. And just take solace in the fact that the only chance that I'm ever going to experience a Super Bowl is when my kid plays flag football and hopefully does it better than I did. So,
all right. Well done. Guys, thank you for everything. Shefty, outstanding as always. And we will keep a very close eye on your phone because the deals are continuing to spin around. I'll be coast to coast on ESPN Radio in exactly 6 seconds. The conversation continues here with First Take next on ESPN.